Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with, I believe your name is, I actually can't spell it. I can see it on the screen here, but I can't actually pronounce it.
Can you? I have a very easy way for you to remember my name, Josh. You know this, but I think the fans of Always Cheating will appreciate this. So, when I was in high school, I played on the varsity soccer team, but I was what you'd refer to as a bench warmer. Sort of a put-me-in coach. And occasionally the coach would put me in, and there were these two girls that sat at the scorer's table, right? They'd sort of flip over the little sign whenever somebody scored a goal, or keep track of whoever was getting, disciplined. So I'd come up to the scorer's table to go in. And everyone listening, my name is Brandon, and the girls at the scoring table would cheer my name, and they would say, B-B-B-R-A-B-R-A-N-D-O-N, beat 'em, Brandon.
That's pretty good. Do they have one for every player?
It was all about me, Josh. I think I was the real fan favorite.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The same is true in the Always Cheating podcast.
Brandon. I was the Andy King of Grand Ledge High School soccer.
You had one moment.
I had one
Remember
shining
Andy
moment.
King had like a golden assist in week 30 or something this year.
Yes, yeah. Hey, he's going to get that winner's medal, and he's going to dine out on that thing for the rest of his life.
That's right. All right, Brandon. So this is the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. We eventually talk about the Fantasy Premier League on here, and we talk about other stuff too when we get bored. So
I like to reminisce.
So we're game week 35. Not a very exciting game week.
Well, it was just super anticlimactic after what was the most epic game week of all time.
Truly lived up to the hype. Ended on a bit of a sour note for me, on a personal level, but a very exciting note. And so,
much has happened since our last episode, because the last episode that we recorded, we were midway through that game week, and you were riding high on triple captain and Aguero.
Right.
It was a master stroke, and I remember just being kind of a dick to you when you suggested that Alexis Sanchez might even score a goal. That was me being a little superstitious probably in the end, but
in the end, if you had Sanchez and you had Aguero, it was a pretty phenomenal week for you. I finished with, I think I don't actually have it handy. I think it was something like 144 points. Does that sound about right? How many did you finish with?
Wait, you had more than that, because I think I finished with 144.
Okay, maybe I had 164 or 165.
You were in the 160s. Hold on, I'm pulling up my score right now because all the cheaters out there, they really want to know. Yeah, so I finished 144, mm-hmm. and I guess I net 140 because I took a transfer hit to get who in. Oh, I think Eric Dyer.
Yeah, and I finished with one. I think it was 164. I also took a 4-point hit to bring in Anthony Martial, which is a complete joke, and Payet, who I ended up picking up 6 points across two games, which is obviously pretty disappointing. It's like the best laid plans and all that. I mean, there was certainly a time there where I was thinking about Andy Carroll was someone I like more than. It's sort of the joke all year is like, hey, why not Andy Carroll? But there was a moment in the lead up to game week 34, where I was like, yeah,
that was his moment.
Let's just go with Andy Carroll. It worked out. I mean, in the end, it was a good week for me.
But those are two players. I mean, we're recapping now, but you're talking about bringing in Martial and Payet, even though it didn't totally work out for you. You must be happy to have them looking at game week 37.
Yeah, but I had to drop Payet. I needed players for this game week. I had to bring in Harry, the explosive goal scorer Harry Kane. right. So really, this whole So game week 34. Like, let's put that a little bit in the rearview mirror because it was a huge game week. But at this point, there's a whole nother game week coming up, and people are already thinking about game week 36. So let's not.
We've already moved on. It's done.
We already talked about it mostly on the last podcast. But the Jamie Vardy red card really, really messed me up in the end because it forced me to to really rearrange my team because I needed at least a striker for this game week.
Right. Yes, because you're so short of players with all these blanks. It was less that Vardy was going to miss 1 or 2 weeks and more that you just needed to field a full team.
And I really went back and forth on who I was going to. We talk about team value a lot on this podcast, and I often dismiss team value. It's not that I dismiss it. I just don't think it's as important as people make it out to be. And if anything, having limited team value can sometimes force you into a position to make a more creative choice than the template player.
Mm-hmm. You're always railing against the rich man, Josh.
This is the Bernie Sanders sponsored podcast this game week. But it wasn't really until game week 35 that my team value, which has stunk all year, you know, partially because I got on Jamie Vardy late, partially because I held on to Eden Hazard too long. Just, you know, all the mistakes of the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season have actually have hung around, you know, ever since. And so I really had I was very limited in my options, and I had a moment where I could have brought in Defoe, and I kind of wanted to do that, and you know, in the end, I brought in Josh King for. I felt very uninspired by my move, but I brought in Josh King and Harry.
Were
King.
You now? Be honest. Were you motivated at all by the fantasy football scout picks by and Josh King?
No. Did they pick him for this game week?
They did put him in their team. Explain this to me. So last week. Last week's pod, you were saying you were really keen on bringing in a Bournemouth defender. It seems like you really just were zeroing in on Bournemouth for some reason.
I don't really – well, okay, so the Bournemouth – it was all dependent on Jamie Vardy not getting a red card, basically.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So once he was gone, my whole – I was actually going to go – I was going to go five at the back with a Bournemouth defender. And you know, because I didn't have enough money to bring in, I was planning for game week 30. It's all very complicated. It's hard to even, keep it all in my head now. But basically the idea was if I brought in a Bournemouth defender, I was best prepared for the bench boost in game week 37. And I would have had enough attacking players elsewhere. I mean, who knew that, you know, that Sacco was suddenly going to, you know, they come down with drug claims like minutes after the game week transfer window expired. Like that was fantastic to wake up to. Like that couldn't have broken Friday night or Saturday morning.
Almost by design. Screw with fantasy managers.
I know. It was so frustrating. And the funny thing is I don't even regret bringing him in. I mean, you know, I have to transfer him out now, but I picked up 15 points from him in the game week.
Yeah,
It's about as much as you get from any defender in that double game week. So,
it's one of those quote blunders that you can't blame yourself for, because if this drug thing doesn't come up, he's an amazing pickup. On top of the 15 points, he's probably one of the more nailed on defenders in that back line.
Yeah, especially with Kolo Torre not very good.
Yeah,
I was gonna say not healthy, but just not good in general. Yeah.
Just generally, his health is poor. Blood pressure is really, really terrible. But yeah, going into that double, so So playing against you head to head all season, I saw you suffer all. You'd refer to it always as your snake bitten season, and then you had this incredible, like month and a half long run where you were getting all the breaks. I mean, you were making some really good transfers, but you were getting all the breaks and scoring some great points. And then the Sacco and Vardy thing happened in quick succession to sort of bring you back down to that sort of snake bitten level that you'd been suffering the rest of the season.
Oh, whatever. You know, it's all done now. It's all. Yeah,
it was Game of Thrones esque sort of hero falling.
But this is something that I one of the calls when I put out the call to action on Twitter and Facebook, people send us questions or comments or whatever. The other thing I added was, you know, 3 weeks left in the season. What are you playing for? You know, like what's left to care about? And this is really what happened to me this week. You know, I lost. I've officially lost the 50 buck cup. Put myself in too big of a hole that even. Even winning five of the last six game weeks, I couldn't come back. I could still overtake you in the overall points for what that's worth.
Certainly possible. You could taint my victory.
Exactly. It's sort of like Arsenal and Tottenham. Like I never want to finish behind you in the overall standings.
Sure, sure. Even if we both end up finishing like ranked 750,000 in the world, exactly. So long as you're 749,000.
We were talking about, the nice thing about that huge double game week is my overall ranking, which had been climbing to begin with, is now, hovering around the top 100K. And it's like, all right, like, it's not fantastic or anything, but, when you look back on it, like, a couple years from now, you're not going to be like, it's not going to look that ugly, it's not going to be this huge black mark on my run.
So how exactly did you do in game week 35? Well, how many points did you score and who didn't play?
I scored 38 points, which is a point below the average. I guess it took a 4-point hit, so I guess it was more like 34 points. I had 9 players that started. Despite me making a very like I was really, really like arguing heavily that people should be captaining Mahrez this game week. I was saying that like he was going to score, he was going to come through, that like Mahrez was the pick. Yeah. And he would have been he was my highest scoring player. I did not captain Mahrez. I went the coward's way and captain Harry Kane. It wouldn't have made a difference in our head to head, but I would have picked up, I guess, 7 more points if I'd done that.
Yeah.
So
every bit helps.
Every bit helps. So, yeah, a really disappointing game week. It was not a fun game week to watch at all. I mean, the Sacco news broke in the morning. Firmino, King, Mignolet, like no one performed on Saturday for me. I was actually at a conference, so it was actually like on one level it was good because I was slightly busy, but also the conference is pretty quiet in the morning. So
yeah,
I hear I'm just updating Twitter, just like pulling that little arrow down, trying to get more information.
Yeah. Oh, and if, good. For those of you who follow the Always Cheating Twitter feed at Hail Cheaters, I can pinpoint the exact moment at which Josh conceded defeat in our head-to-head 50 buck cup, and he sent out a tweet when Shane Long scores the first Southampton goal. You sent out you basically subtweeted Julian Lescott and said, "Oh, the pressure's off now, isn't it, Julian?" And I
think it was more like glad to see Aston Villa doing so well now that the pressure is off.
Yeah, and that was the point at which you knew it was all over, because I mean, if I followed the trend, my recent trend of just who's playing Aston Villa, I've been following Aston Villa around recently. That's how I ended up getting Simon Francis in, who
you flew out there for a while, right? You were in England following them around, like the grateful dead.
Yeah, me and Tom Hanks, noted Aston Villa fan Tom Hanks, did you see these headlines today that Tom Hanks reportedly put money down on Leicester winning the title this year?
No, I didn't actually. It's interesting because he's on the NPR show Fresh Air today. And
he's clearly doing anything he can to get himself out in the headlines to highlight what is meant to be a really terrible movie, Hologram for the King, that just came out.
I know. And I actually read that.
And that's not Josh King, Bournemouth's own Josh King. It's a hologram for an actual King. Noble king.
I know. The book is actually pretty good, as an aside, but the movie does look terrible. It had that awful voiceover where it was like, "Sometimes you've got to go halfway across the world to discover who you really are." It was one of those like dumb, I don't know.
Aphorisms. All right. Maybe that could be, because we're talking about me branching out with my FPL team name next year. Maybe I could be a hologram for Joshua King.
That's pretty good.
So Simon Francis came through for me with another wild, miraculous assist where he should have got 0 points. He ends up with 3. But it was really Shane Long who got 12 points against a garbage Villa team.
I thought that was a great move. I was very impressed with the Shane Long move. I would have made it myself if I had the team, or if I had the money.
It was dumb luck. I know a lot of people out there were burned by bringing in Graziano Pelle. Same logic. But he ends up getting rotated for, I assume, strategic reasons, tactical reasons.
Yeah.
So the sheer fact that I couldn't afford Pelé and I bring in Shane Long, it was good enough. It was good enough. So I finished with 58 points, less than 4-point transfer hit. My one worry coming out of the week is how bad this concussion is to Eric Dyer. But you have to assume he's going to be fine. I mean, look at that. Look at the head on Eric Dyer.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's tough. He grew up playing in the streets of Portugal. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so enough about us. Everyone had a bad game week, right? Like, very few people had the guy in third place in our league somehow had a great game week. He finished like 65 points this game week. Yeah. But I think most of us had a pretty poor game week. So let's, you know, all that said, let's take a look at the Hail Cheater Super League. It's been a couple weeks since we checked in on it, because we were still on the middle of game week 34 last time. Nampy on Choigo says, when's the next podcast? Hoping for a wee mention, having gone 10th in the Super League. and then poor Owen O'Keefe, from first place to 19th place, his underdogs, says, enjoy it, man, with three crying yellow emojis.
Oh, man, it's tough. But, I mean, graceful in defeat, Owen is. So you got to tip your hat to him. Probably less than what Arsene Wenger is saying in the press right now.
Yeah.
Being less conciliatory.
So let's look at the current top 10. First place is Keep Calm and Clem Up. That is Muhammad Al-Qiyasi, 59 points, 2,206 points overall. I meant to look at his overall ranking, but he's got to be in the top.
I'm pulling it up right now. Yeah, he is ranked 98 in the world. Top 100. So we're very proud to have in the Super League somebody ranked in the top 100, but not too far behind is Laith Kassab, right? He's just 1 point behind.
1 point behind. And yeah, it's interesting because Muhammad
and he's ranked 104 in the world. So 1 point difference. And Laith Kassab is ranked 104 in the world.
And those two have been in the top 10 for most of the year, I would say. And so they've sort of made it a little, you know, probably really boosted by game week 34. Although 59 points in game week 35 is pretty good, too.
Yeah, how many times have you had to ask me to say Kasar Bersluten FC?
A lot of times.
Too many.
Calvin Chan's higher rate for United FC picked up 52 points, and they're in third. Mark Johnson's Stone Cold Stunners in fourth. Graham McDonald's Gamchester in fifth. Richard Cosmala's Cosmo 11 in sixth. Guillermeld, Isle of Dabumbu, another first placer who has struggled the last couple game weeks.
Yeah.
But Gear, you know, it's all because he took Brandon's advice and decided to triple captain Romelu Lukaku in game week 33. Zenit Saint.
I had to hire a security team after that whole incident just to make sure I was safe roaming the yeah. streets of New York City.
You had a detail.
Yeah, there's a price on my head now.
Zenit St. Pukenan, Rakesh Narayan is in eighth. Melvin United, Melvin Mbazi is in ninth. And then a two-way tie for second place is Take a Load Off Mane, Sean Kaminsky, and Mirian Yapa, which I'm assuming is like, I don't even know what that is. It's sort of like Adrian Mariapa, right? Remember Adrian Mariapa, great 4 million defender?
Did he play for Reading or somebody?
I think he played for Reading. I think he moved to another Premier League club last year. He might have played for QPR or something.
Yeah, it's clearly a secret message. Mirian Mariapa, it's clearly a secret message to Mariapa.
Yeah, and that's Phil Carter. They're tied for 10th. So the thing is, we don't actually know. Is Nampy on Choigo Sean Kaminsky or Phil Carter? Neither of us, we can't quite figure it out.
There is absolutely zero way to connect the name Sean Kaminsky or Phil Carter to Nampy on Choigo.
Yeah, so. and just to be clear, the name is Nampy on Choigo and the at is Nampy on Choigo. So it's not like it's Nampy, it's not like it's at Nampy on Choigo and the name is Sean Kaminsky or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah, this is really a riddle that we're trying to unravel.
So, tweet us, guys, and let us know who's who.
A special secret, always cheating private league shout out to Lucian Madison, who is only second place in our private league, but he's managed to sneak up into 12th, just behind these two people tied for 10th. So, Lucian, I know you listen to this podcast. Well done, sir. You still owe me $50.
And you said the guy who's in first, our friend Dan, if he was in this league, what would his rank be? He'd be like
he would be in third place. Yeah. Okay. But you know, Daniel, in our private league, and everyone out there listening, you have one of these guys in your own mini league. He is just crushing it the whole season. And he's the guy that, you know, he knows the Premier League. He's a very avid fan, but he pays the least amount of attention. Right. You know, he has a lovely wife and two beautiful young children that demand most of his time. And, of course, Of course, the year that he's like, well, maybe I won't play, is the year he ends up, I think he's like 179th in the world right now.
No, I mean, this is actually how Daniel won the league his first year, too. So,
Yeah, this is how you remember it, of course, because you finished second place. So that's some revisionist history right there.
I'm a little sad about it, too, because I'm the only two-time winner in the league, and now I'm going to have to share the trophy with them.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Uh-huh. I know. All right. So, well done to the top 10. It's pretty cool to have two people who are floating with the top 100 overall. I mean, that's pretty awesome. And even the people who are a few points back, I mean, this is like the top 10 of the Hail Cheaters League is definitely like, I think probably everyone is in the top, 5,000 in the world.
Josh and I are very pleased to be associated with all of you. We rank much farther down.
Sorry we're doing so poorly.
But we're really, happy that we're really making the Hail Cheaters Super League among the more competitive, two guys having a podcast mini leagues out there.
Yeah, I hung on too tight to some players early on the season. I've been paying for it ever since.
Oh, we'll get to regrets later on in this podcast. I think there is a theme of... There is a wistful theme in many of the Twitter comments we received leading up to this podcast of, that we're heading into the home stretch, what could we have done differently? Would you have changed it?
I know. So many things. So many things. All right. So let's get to I want to get to game week 37 planning, which is what so many of these questions are about. But let's answer a couple of – and it all ties together anyway. So let's answer a couple key questions from game week that have come out of the game week 35 as we look ahead to
the final. By the way, because we talked about the massive game week 34, the most insane double game week of all time, and then we had a barren game week 35 – and now 37 is another game week. I don't want to gloss over the fact that isn't it nice game week 36? We can just stretch out and it's like an average game week. Everybody plays. There are no blanks. There are no doubles. It's like old times.
It is nice, but unfortunately, because of the aftershocks of the last two game weeks, I now have nothing to play for. So for me, it's like whatever. Like the whole season now just feels like whatever. I'm basically just rooting for Leicester to win the league.
Oh yeah.
That's my chief priority.
Go Leicester, go Foxes.
All right, so speaking of Leicester Spurs, at least we got some suspension dilemmas. Dele Alli for Spurs. Now I do we know what's going to happen here?
We know is that the FA has officially brought charges against him for violent conduct.
Okay,
so which I saw on the BBC earlier today. So that's It's basically the same thing that happened to Vardy. Nobody knew if he was going to get that extra game ban. But when the FA brings the charges up and Leicester says they're not going to fight him, it's not a matter of if he'd get the suspension, but how many games. So
right.
It seems a foregone conclusion that Ali is going to miss some games, and precedent says that he'd miss at least three.
Yeah, that's fair. Although it really didn't seem like that big of a deal. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I'm of two minds. I'm kind of like it's all part of the dark arts of football. And fine, I accept that everyone you sort of play with that sort of that grit, that sort of Luis Suarez, racism aside. He's that amount of craziness takes him to the next level.
Yeah.
But also, Dele Alli has played like a bitch numerous times this season. And it's not a surprise that he's doing this. And I think it'll probably be good for him to get a little bit of comeuppance.
Yeah, he's got kind of weird anger where it seems like he seems like a very happy, friendly guy. Like there are all these like gifs of him like waving hello to people and stuff like that. and yet, he has these moments where he just like he kind of loses it. I mean, he actually hasn't had too many yellow cards the last like maybe 10 game weeks or so. But right. Up until then, it was like every other game week.
Check Chiyote levels.
You were just banking on a yellow card.
The question for Ali then becomes less about Dele Alli and more what do we do with Spurs for our squads. So some of us, I think, were in various levels of reacquiring Spurs players after the big double week. I myself just have Harry Kane and Eric Dyer. I mean, some people took hits to get Alli back in for this week.
And I have five Spurs players.
That's incredible. You've broken the game. You're using like the game genie?
I hacked into the system.
Unbelievable. And you're still not in the top 100.
I know, yeah.
But did you have Ryan Mason and Tom Carroll? Are those the other Spurs players who you brought in?
That was the problem, is I brought in Mason and Carroll, and I just wasn't, it wasn't planning. I and Kevin Wimmer, I have him too.
Classic blunder. Clinton Enjai, backup striker.
I love that Toner got an assist this week.
Toner cartridge.
Toner.
He's our man. He's got that always cheating bounce.
Okay.
The question everyone is asking is the season over for Spurs? Are we screwed with Harry Kane? Does he have anything to play for? Which I just, to state my case, I think is ridiculous. Like, look at Harry Kane. That guy is a crazy competitive person. He's also going for the golden boot. He's going to want to score as many goals as possible. Additionally, it's not over for Spurs.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was about to say that a couple minutes ago. It isn't over for Spurs. I mean, so Spurs are down. They're down 7 points, which does seem it's seemingly insurmountable. But Leicester could actually lose their final three games. It would not be improbable. It would be improbable, but not impossible. Right. They could just pick up 1 point in their final three games. They're away to Man United, game week 36. That's a game that they certainly could lose and probably won't even be favored in without Jamie Vardy. They're home to Everton in game week 37. Now, that does seem like a win, certainly given Everton's current form. But Everton do have Romelu Lukaku and Ross Barkley on his day is a very good player. Mm-hmm. And assuming they haven't just completely given up on Roberto Martinez, I mean, certainly we've seen Everton pull out some big wins this year. So that is a game that even if they didn't win, you could just see it being like a 1-1 draw or something. It's a little bit of a wild card. And the final game of the season is away to Chelsea, and that is a very difficult match. I mean, it wouldn't have been 15 weeks ago or 20 weeks ago, but the way Chelsea are playing right now, they do not want to have to go to Chelsea in the last game of the season and pick up anywhere between 1 and 3 points.
And that's a game where Ranieri is in danger of psyching himself out. I mean, as a manager, he has been like so solid, like almost flawless this entire season. But given his history with Chelsea, you could see him tripping up in that game if he puts his heart first.
Yeah, I absolutely. So I think that the Spurs have to win at Chelsea in game week 35. That's the whole season kind of. I mean, well, to be honest, I mean, if Leicester win at Man U, then the season's over too. So
right, yeah.
So if two big. This is really. I mean, I guess this is when I begin my transition from being to, a fantasy. Well,
I love this conversation. You're transitioning into what?
It's from a fantasy fan to a English Premier League fan. Because throughout the course of the season,
you've also transitioned out of calling it the Barclays Premier League, I see.
Slowly, yeah. as the league is as well as we enter the next season. I just think that I have like nothing to play for, and I really want Leicester to win the league. I mean, I actually like Spurs. I mean, this Spurs team is easy to root for, but it's just not the same story. I mean, I don't know how you could root against. I mean, unless you're a Spurs fan, there's no not rooting for Leicester to win this league.
It's funny how Spurs have kind of usurped the Arsenal narrative this season, in that the whole thing for Arsenal was, well, if not this season, you're never going to win the title, given what's coming in the coming years, like all the talent, the managerial and other talent that's coming into the league.
I find that to be such a false. I mean, everyone said that going into this season, it's like you never know. I mean, it's a possible. I mean, and the same thing happened 2 years ago when Atletico Madrid won La Liga, right? It's like, oh, only Real Madrid and Barcelona can win the league. They're the only two teams that can pull it off. Well, Atletico Madrid did it, and they did it without. I mean, they actually did it with Diego Costa, but it wasn't like that team was loaded. I mean,
And now they're almost doing it again.
Real Madrid team. What's that? Yeah.
And they're almost doing it again this season. They're level 1 points. Some consistency there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a very different case than Leicester. But yeah, I mean, this idea that money has changed the league so comprehensively that even this, like, a lot of people are now treating this Leicester season like a complete fluke of a season, which in some ways it is. I mean, I don't know. It's not a and this is like, I know we're getting like way off the fantasy track here, but it in no way disparages Leicester to say that they needed a lot of luck to win the league. Of course they did. I mean, you know, if you have if there are teams that are spending £200 million more than you on players, I mean, you're buying better players. You're buying players who have more talent, and it's not like I mean, the reason that they're good too, generally, like being a good player isn't about natural talent most of the time. It's like talent, and they care a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, all you have to do is watch Sergio Aguero play, or watch him like weep as he leaves the field with another knee injury, to know that not only is he the best player in the Premier League, but he's also the guy who wants to win the most, you know, or is certainly up there.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have a teams full of guys like this, it is very hard to beat them, you know? Yeah. And so, but that said, it does happen, and we're seeing it right now. And, so I don't see any reason why, like, 2 years from now, we couldn't see, like, you know, Middlesbrough, like, suddenly won the title, you know? I mean, who knows, you know? It's hard to say.
Dare to
dream. I mean, it's improbable, certainly, but it's not impossible.
Okay, so Dele Alli doesn't really foil our Spurs plan. I think that's the moral of that story. But what other suspension dilemmas do we have?
Sacco, we've got to assume that Sacco's out indefinitely with his failed drugs test.
Yeah. So we got a couple comments on Twitter when the Sacco news came out. Jeff Petter on Twitter says, "Mama do smack-o," which I found rather humorous. And Graham McDonald says, "Sacco." At least he waited until after the double game week, which you were just talking, Josh, about how you got 15 points off the man. So at least he was gracious enough to give everybody a parting gift.
I agree. And yeah, so, I mean, you got to drop Sacco. there's too much rest there.
It doesn't really change anything for Liverpool either, because the rotation there was just frightening as it was already. But still, Liverpool had the double in game week 37. So where do we stand with the central defense? Is it going to be Kolo Touré? Is it going to be Martin Skrtel who slots in? Or do we even not bother with central defense there?
I think I would not bother with central. You could argue that you just don't want to bother with the Liverpool defense at all. I think you can make a case for having one midfielder and one forward. You know, maybe Sturridge and Firmino, I suppose, would be the two. A lot of it depends on what happens this week. I mean, if agreed, Liverpool, you know, I mean, if they you know, go down 3-0 to Villarreal, you know, in the first game of the Europa League, then they could. You know, we could see Leicester. I mean, but, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the odds are they're probably going to be competitive both legs of the Europa League. And if they win, then, and, you know, make the final, then it's like all bets are off. I mean, who knows? Who knows if any of those guys will, you know, I mean, they have nothing to play for in the league at all. Absolutely nothing. So, I mean, there's no reason why, you know, why they would. I mean, it could be a team full of like under 21 players. You know, in one of these game weeks, like there's that little to play for. I mean, if they're getting right through Europa League final, I mean, Europa League, if you win the Europa League final, you're into the Champions League.
It's the Flanagan conundrum. Like the one defender I feel like is appealing now, particularly after this weekend, is Moreno. But like you're saying, they could field a bunch of like a really off the wall youth team. Not that Flanagan is a totally off the wall guy, but the rotation is just too nuts on Liverpool right now.
Yeah, I agree. It's just there are more stable places to go for defenders. I think that you could go to you could look at Chelsea, even Man U if you want to bring in Chris Smalling. So I think that we should. I don't know. We'll talk more about that on next week's podcast. Well, actually, we're going to get into it in the questions below too. So I don't know why I said below, because that's just me looking at the running order. The questions further on in the podcast.
So the only other suspension of note, of course, is Jamie Vardy, but all fears there were put to bed by big man Ajoa with two goals. I mean, he'll presumably only start one more game, so that's got to be just a one-week punt if you're looking to bring Ajoa in. And against Manchester United, I don't know if you could sell me on that transfer right now.
Not that transfer, but I applaud anybody who brought him in before game week 35.
Hey, did I not recommend it last week?
I don't know. Did you?
I did. You poo-pooed it. Go back and listen. Yeah, of course.
Go check the tape. Block 99 on Twitter says, having seen the last three game weeks play out, what would you have done differently that you wanted to do but didn't? As in, not in hindsight, but plans you made but didn't follow through with. Although I think that's kind of the same thing. That is hindsight, isn't it?
You're having it's philosophical, I suppose. Or regret is a very powerful word.
It means
lots of different things to different people.
I regret doubling up on it. Was the problem is that wild card was crazy. It was just a crazy.
It was crazy. Wild card. It was. I the one thing I regret, and again, this goes back to the hindsight thing, but I do believe looking forward to that double game week and then seeing the barrenness of game week 35, I sort of knew in my head that it was better to keep all of your Spurs and Leicester players as opposed to dumping them during the wild card. And that's a big lesson learned.
Yeah. The irony there is that it wouldn't have helped you in game week 35, but it would have helped you in game week 34.
Yeah.
If you just held the Spurs players, they would have really, it would have been great to have them because they picked up more points than most of the double game week players. But in game week 35, you really didn't get, you got some bonus points from Allie, but that was it.
Yeah. It took that looking back sort of took a little bit of the fun out of it because now my wild card team, I have guys like Lanzini. Maybe they'll come good, but this is just not a guy. Like, I don't like the way Lanzini came into my team during the wild card. It wasn't a choice that I would have made outside of the wild card. And now I feel like I have players on my team that they don't quite feel right. They don't make me happy. And
yeah. I kind of feel the same way. It's just been so frustrating, bringing in Gabriel and seeing him, just like basically get moved out of the rotation. After I picked up 2 points from him, or 3 points actually, weirdly, because I picked up a random bonus point in that game they drew with Crystal Palace. Having Sakho, I'm feeling kind of screwed now. So yeah, it's just. My defense is a mess, and it's a mess that's really – I mean, with 3 weeks to go, it's just going to stay a mess the rest of the season. I don't know. I think that I think you nailed on the head. Not planning better for the game week 35 was the bigger issue because I really can't complain about how game week 34 worked out for me. It worked out spectacularly. I mean, I had points, across the board. I mean, my worst performer was was Piatt with 6 points, So it was really, Man United was the only team that really let me down with Anthony Martial.
Oh, tell me about it. Fosu Mensah. I could justify it because he clears up a lot of money in my bank and that helped me get in other players. But, that's been a disaster transfer.
Well, this is the problem is it was like the allure of having a super cheap defender on a top team for a double game week.
Yeah.
Like it was like, it became this irrational when really what you just wanted a defender who was going to play in game week 30. I mean, you actually brought in Eric Dier before game week 34, which worked out pretty well. Yeah,
it did. Yeah, it did. And that was, probably the one good sort of last minute decision I made.
It was a small good thing.
Exactly. the Brandon Kelly story, a small good thing. Yeah, so that said, we have to move forward. We have to look ahead, and the question becomes less what didn't you do, but what do you still have to play for? And again, Block 99, he chimes in on Twitter, and he says, to try and win the Always Cheating League and the Transfer Hub Leagues and to have the highest rank possible. So very pragmatic there from Block 99 in terms of what he has left to play for this season. And yeah, at this point, 3 weeks left. For some of us, leads in mini leagues seem insurmountable. For others, the gap is very narrow. We could close them down. So we were both chasing third place in our private mini league, and that dream died over the last week.
Yeah,
so,
it's It hasn't been a fun. I will say, I'm glad that it took until Game Week 35 for me to be officially, formally knocked out of everything. That's yeah. not so bad. I mean, you know, we're almost at Game Week 36. Yeah, I still have some Premier League stuff to like. I still have things that are keeping my interest. I definitely want to make sure I crack the top 100K and stay there the rest of the season.
Yeah, I would say that's most important to me at this point is to stay in the top 100K. I mean, that should hopefully, if you're really following the game closely all 38 weeks, that feels like a soft target to hit or a big target to hit.
I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have a chip left to play in Game Week 37. I mean, I would be shocked if most of the people listening to this podcast can't scratch and claw their way into the top 100K because there are going to be a lot of dead teams out there. There are going to be teams that played their all-out attack or their triple captainship early. And you're just going to shoot past, you know, a ton of them. So,
yeah.
I think.
And respect is not too little a thing to play for. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah, exactly. I had a season 2 years ago where my excuse is always that I was planning for my wedding. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot of work and a lot of mental energy went into that. And I just kind of gave up on fantasy that year. It was more that I was kind of stubborn about bringing in certain players, and I found myself with almost nothing to play for with, you know, like 20 weeks left in the season or something. Like some ridiculous – I was so far out of our mini league, which it's a very competitive mini league, to be fair. I mean, you know, it's like the top players in the mini league are, as we said before, you know, Daniel's in the top, you know, 200 in the world or so. And so I really had nothing to play for. And yet every week I made my transfers. I tried to make the best move I could, try to captain the best player I could. I mean, I guess I was a little more focused on differentials than I would be otherwise.
Yeah.
Because what's the fun in captaining Harry Kane or Sergio Aguero when you've got nothing else to play for? I mean, given where I am right now, I'm probably going to bring in Dan Mercy Mopakani and maybe even captain him at Game Week 38. I mean, why not?
Absolutely. On Twitter, Brendan says his goal is to maintain his top 200 place in the Hail Cheaters Super League, which, easier said than done. Right, Brendan? I feel like Brendan and Josh. Yeah. I'm struggling myself. I think I'm like 160-something at the moment in Hail Cheaters.
Thin White Juke says, in the top 35K with my wild card and bench boost play. Wow, wild card still play too. I'd be disappointed with anything else at the top 20K. Yeah, if I think about him, I'd be disappointed with anything else at the top 10K. I would think with a wild card and a bench boost still to play, you could pick up 25,000 spots.
You're really laying down a marker there for the thin white.
Yeah, I'm giving him something to aim for. I'd say, like he said, he'd be disappointed outside the top 20K. I think top 10 is the goal there.
Go for it, Juke.
Yeah, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, so Luke Arnold, at Mr. Luke Arnold, says, I blame most of my early season captain choices on Hazard as the downfall to my season. Am I mad? I think I want to do it again? I don't think he does. I mean, what bigger insult to Luke Arnold than Hazard being his downfall earlier in the season, and who shows up in Game Week 35 to score a brace? Who hasn't scored a goal all season? Mr. PFA Player of the Year, Eden Hazard. Unreal.
I know. I mean, this week was all about I got four goals from two players that were on my team for like the first 15 weeks of the season. I mean, Ashley Westwood coming through with a brace.
Oh, my God. Everyone's deep-lying bench player, Ashley Westwood. What a showcase. Yeah.
I think his value – well, it got as far down as it possibly could go, I think, because he just was never that highly owned to begin with.
Right.
I mean, I think by the end, it was like me and four other managers still had him.
I mean, I bet there are a couple of managers that probably played Westwood this week, maybe just by virtue of auto sub if they went ghost somewhere midway through the season and had him on their bench since he was such a popular bench player.
Yeah, so, no, you know. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Every Westwood has his day.
Colin Bothwell says he's trying to hang on to the lead in his main cash league. He's stumbling over the line, sadly.
Colin Bothwell. I feel like Colin was he was a star Hail Cheaters Super League manager for quite a while earlier in the season.
Star commenter all season long. He was flirting with first and second the first half of the season.
Yeah. It's just been a real grind this season. And, yeah, it's all for the cash at this point. So, Colin, yeah, Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Hang in there, buddy.
Then you want to take the last one here?
Yeah, Brent Nunkus, one of our friends on Facebook, says, absolutely, yes, I am playing for world ranking, hoping to finish in the top 100K after not cracking the top million last year. The double game week boosted me into the top 50K. Well done, Brent. And I am new to the Premier League and to football in general, so I am pretty thrilled. I mean, that is a huge leap for Brent, particularly being new to the league. So we're definitely backing you to get into the top,
yeah, 50. I don't know if you've seen on Facebook. Yeah, he's shared his tale. It's actually pretty similar to really more, maybe more mine than yours, but sort of falling in love with the game and sort of, you know, kind of going all in and then get into fantasy and, you know. So, yeah, good on you, Brent. All right, let's move on to Twitter, Facebook questions and gripes. So this is pretty game week 37 focused, although we'll obviously touch on this in more depth next week. Pat Udamobile says, is it time for a Hail Mary? I'm desperate to catch my mini league leader who is 60 points away. This one is an easy answer, which is absolutely fucking yes.
An emphatic hell yes, Pat, do it.
And it can be done. I was around 60 points behind last year with 3 weeks to go, and it ended up winning my league by about 20 points. So it can absolutely be done.
So punting means you've got to absolutely go for a differential and big ones and the double game week in 37 is the easy way to cover that 60 points, right? I mean, that's how you caught up most of your points last year, was the double game week.
Yeah, Sunderland defenders really came through for me. But let's say that he wanted to pick an unconventional captain in game week 36. Who would you look at here, looking at the fixtures for game week 36?
Fixtures for game week 36, unconventional captain.
We don't know who he has. We don't know what the person above him has, but just, you know, a couple unconventional choices that pop out to you.
Well, as we know from earlier in this episode, I do like to travel around with the Aston Villa fans and suffer with them and see who they're playing that given week. And I'm looking at Watford. Watford is at home hosting Aston Villa, who have utterly capitulated in all manner. And Troy Deeney, he scored in the FA Cup semifinal, even though Watford loses. Watford, speaking of playing for pride, after losing in the Cup semifinal, you feel like Watford and Kike Sanchez Flores is also trying to play for pride. Now that people are talking about him losing his job for whatever reason.
Really? It's like he'd be losing his job for overachieving in the first half of the season.
Yeah, yeah. It's story. It's the Steve Clark syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
So I know Troy Deeney. I mean, Ighalo is wildly off the boil. Yeah, but
maybe more Deeney than Ighalo. Yeah. You could, you know, I think there. The one that I was looking at was Daniel Sturridge. If he doesn't play in the Europa League semifinal, Sturridge away to Swansea, I think, is a good, slightly maverick captain choice. And it also sets you up well for game week 37, where there's two fixtures. I mean, I don't know, you know, what Liverpool players you can really count on to play both fixtures. I don't know if I'd actually even take the risk of captaining a Liverpool player in game week 37.
Yeah, right.
But I think that Sturridge could away to Swansea. It's a Swansea team that just chipped 4 goals. You know, basically they just became safe last week. I mean, there's no way they're dropping down now. They have nothing to play for. It's been a crap season. I mean, they might, like, lose out. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like, who cares? They're safe. There's 3 weeks left. Like, they're on the beach already. You know, those are the teams you want to target, I think, are the teams that still have something to play for. I mean, even Arsenal, to me, is a bit of a concern. I mean, I guess they theoretically have, you know, the two of the best three fixtures to end the season, but you know, it kind of depends. I mean, you know, they're a little lucky because they have, you know, I don't know if they're lucky exactly, but they have fourth place. They have their fourth place trophy to play for still this year.
Yeah, it's true. Norwich could be setting up for a draw. Like, they need at least a point coming out of this match. So I don't know if they have to score against Arsenal and they go open and Arsenal reaps the benefits, or if Norwich parks the bus and tries to get a single point out of it.
It's true. I mean, I'm certainly looking at Alexis Sanchez as my captain for this game week. I think most people probably are. But that to me is the most conventional captain choice. So if you're really trying to make up ground, I would not captain Sanchez. I mean, even Captain Ozil to me is a more creative captain choice for this game week.
So then there's Jermaine Defoe, who is the other one for Sunderland. They're away to Stoke. Stoke have been, like, their defense has been hapless the last few weeks. They've let in four goals and four goals against City last week, and then they let in four against Spurs. Looked totally diabolical there.
Yeah.
And Defoe, I don't know. I'm not totally sold on bringing Defoe into your squad.
I like Defoe a lot for game week 37. I mean, if you just want to bring him in a week early, I think that's fine. I mean, two home fixtures, a lot to play for. I don't think I'd captain him in game week 37, but I mean, given his price, I don't know. I think he's a really interesting option. He and Andy Carroll are really interesting game week 37 options.
I think my issue with Defoe is that, I mean, save this 3-0 result against Norwich a couple weeks ago, but they're generally not an explosive team, and Defoe, yeah, he's not really captain material in that you're going to predict that he's going to score a few goals toward the end of the season, but how many games is he going to hit double figures? That's my one reservation with Defoe.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so let's get to the next question. El Magico says, who are your three must-have players for game week 37? Just to start this one, I think this is kind of a tricky one to answer, given that we don't know what's going on with Liverpool right now, you know, and Man U for that matter, too. I mean, the FA Cup final will be after game week 38, if I'm not mistaken. So yes, there's no rotation risk there, but they, you know, I don't know. If Man U is still playing for fourth place, which I think they will be, then having someone from that team could be very useful, whether that's Anthony Martial or, one of their defenders.
I would say David De Gea would be my must-have from United for that game week. As we saw during the last double where United was playing Villa and another favorable fixture at home, I forget who, scoring can be difficult for Man United, but defense is something they seem to excel at. De Gea is nailed on, best keeper in the league. He's my guy.
Okay.
He's my guy.
I think that's a fair pick. What about Liverpool? I mean, I feel like we're going more teams than players here, but
yeah,
the top options.
West Ham, I look at West Ham first because of Dimitri Payet.
Yeah, no, we'll get to West Ham, but just Liverpool.
Oh, okay. First.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. A lot does depend on the Europa League campaign. Simon Mignolet is like the one maybe nailed on guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think Firmino, it seems like the rotation has been balanced in a way that he's been playing less in Europe and more in the, I'm happy to keep Firmino for the next couple of game weeks.
Definitely not Coutinho if the Europa rotation is to be consistent.
Yeah.
You know, stay away from Coutinho. And I agree.
Yeah.
Sturridge or Firmino, if you're looking to attack. James Milner is, I think he's been a little too sporadic, even though, I mean, if you can only afford a guy like James Milner, he could be more assured two starts.
And then as you were saying a second ago, you know, West Ham is definitely the team to look at. Two home fixtures. I'm just so annoyed I had to drop Payet for a fruitless Harry Kane transfer.
And the questions with West Ham that we had for game week 34 are gone. They're out of the FA Cup. They are just playing for position in the league table and to stay in the Europa League positions. So Payet and Andy Carroll are really intriguing. I will be hanging on to Lanzini, I think. Lanzini was on the chopping block because of Dele Alli, but now Dele Alli is off the table. So, yeah, I was struggling to pick a defender for West Ham, and their defense is a little nutso.
Oh, you don't think to me, Aaron Cresswell is the obvious pick there.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I've been a little burned by, you know, classic, classic guy does nothing on your team for a solid 5 weeks. You get rid of him and he scores an absolute worldie.
Right. Yeah. Aspilicueta has been like that for me this year. I never have him at the right time.
So, yeah, it's true. It's true. Cresswell would be a decent pick.
And then Watford, I'm not feeling that double game week at all. Way to Liverpool and Norwich. So just to get back to the original question, three players for the double game week, if, you know, gun to your head, who would you pick? I think I would pick Diego Costa from Chelsea is someone that I'm really interested in. We haven't even talked about Chelsea yet, but I think someone from Chelsea, maybe not even Costa, but just someone from Chelsea.
I'm feeling Pedro right now.
Yeah, Pedro, Willian. I mean, I think that there are a lot of different options you could pick. There's a good differential in there somewhere. You know, yeah. I mean, even God forbid Eden Hazard, which I won't be touching with a 10-foot pole, but he is someone you could look at. You know,
I mean, what is he even priced at right now? How could you even fit Hazard? All right,
you'd have to drop Sanchez.
Yeah, here we go to Pat Udemobile, where you're trying to make up 60 points. Hazard could be the key to unlock that door. I mean, you feel crazy bringing him into your team, but that could be all it takes.
Yeah, it's an option. Okay, so someone from Chelsea, an attacker from Chelsea, an attacker from West Ham, and probably someone from Liverpool.
Okay, so you're foregoing Man United in your three.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. You know what? We need more information. Let's kind of table game week 37 to talk until next week. I mean, I know that you have to start making your transfers right now, you know, in anticipation of it. But I just think there are too many factors. Most particularly what's going to happen in the first leg of the Europa League to really pin things down. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, funding a bunch of double game week players by dropping Sergio Aguero is something I think is worth considering. I mean, they're, you know, he's home in game week 37, but they're home to Arsenal. Yeah. He's not going to run riot, I wouldn't think. if you turned Aguero into Andy Carroll, then suddenly you've got, you know, like £8 million that you can spend on a bunch of different, you know, differential players. And I don't know. So, I mean, you're taking a risk because Aguero could go off, but there's 2 weeks left in the season. I mean, you've got to take a risk, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
And if you're looking to bring Mo Bacani in game week 38, you've got to free up some cash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what's his price in the league? 13 million?
It's like 13.8, I think.
Yeah. So Dave from Burnley says, Defoe, Kasri, a viable punt versus Piatt Carroll. Yeah, I think so. Why not, right? I mean, it depends on whether you're trying to make up ground or not. Do I think that Piatt and Carroll are going to do better? Yes, I do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so
Kasri has not impressed me lately. They
kept showing him looking angry in that Arsenal match.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a very disciplined player, and so like a guy like Patrick Van Aanholt, I'd be more interested in than Wahbi Kasri.
Although having any Sunderland defender, you know, it's just awful all year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Kasri is a midfielder, but PVA. Wow, what about DeAndre Yedlin? Where's my boy Yedlin? Yedlin's gonna.
Yeah. Wait, what do you think is gonna happen to him? I mean, is he really gonna go back to Spurs? I can't see him cracking that.
No.
He's not gonna surpass Danny Rose, right? Or
I mean, Yedlin was a marketing chip. They brought in Yedlin. He was a hot American player coming in off the World Cup. They probably sold, you know, like 5,000 Yedlin Spurs jerseys, then shipped him over to Sunderland, and he'll be back in MLS shortly.
Yeah. Razzie Boy says, what to do about Kane with Dele Alli out, Spurs ready to go fishing, and Chelsea showing some life. Is it time to divest? We did talk about this a fair amount earlier in the podcast, so I'll just say again that I think it's very reasonable to. I mean, I think you're right that he has a lot to play for still. But just given that you can make a straight swap basically for Diego Costa or Daniel Sturridge, I think it's definitely worth considering. You're just not building for 10 weeks out. You know, yeah. I mean, you're just taking a risk. There's only 2 weeks left. I mean, there are 3 weeks left, including game week 36. I mean, you know, if you're ever going to take it, you can't wait till game week 38 to take the chance. You know, you got to do it a little early and hope it comes off. I mean, you know, Sergio Aguero and Harry Kane have had plenty of game weeks this season where they've scored 2 points, you know,
This Diego Costa thing, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, they throttled Bournemouth and Costa had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. Believe it when you see it, when you see it happen in game week 37.
Okay, I guess it's not an if. I don't believe an if. All right. Nice wordplay there, Josh.
I actually had to write that one down and work it out. Okay, so Neaton Moriani says, this is a question earlier this week, actually, but it's a very tricky one. He says, I still have my triple captain, Sanchez home versus Aston Villa in game week 38, or Costa versus Sunderland and Liverpool in game week 37. Help.
Yeah.
So I think I would actually say neither one. I think that I don't know. I think, you know, Andy Carroll in game week 37 would be kind of a cool triple captain, I think. Or Dimitri Payet would be the safer choice there.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose if you really hated yourself, you could go with Romelu Lukaku in game week 37. I would be wary of triple captaining anyone on Liverpool, because there's a pretty good chance they're not going to start, you know, like both game weeks. And good luck, you know, finding the players going to start both of them. I think Anthony Martial is an interesting option, although just picking any single player on Man U to perform well over two game weeks is a very difficult challenge.
Yeah. I really like the idea of playing it on Sanchez in the final week. They're at home. Villa again.
The only concern there is if they win a couple of matches in a row and Man U lose like a match, I think that it's impossible for Man U to overtake them in fourth place. So you could have a game week 38 where Arsenal have locked up fourth place, have nothing else to play for, and, you know, like just all of the random 21 players get in. I mean, we saw this last year with you know, Aaron Ramsey didn't start the last game of the season, and a lot of people had brought him in for game week 38, and Theo Walcott started kind of out of nowhere and scored, I think, did he score 4 goals in that game or 3 goals?
I think he at least scored a hat trick.
Yeah.
So it's
risky waiting until game week 38 is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it is risky. I would be surprised if Sanchez didn't play.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I'd be surprised, but it could happen.
Lukaku in game week 37 is just insane. If we have any listeners who live in Liverpool, in the great town of Liverpool, I'm curious to know which bridge Lukaku is most likely to guard and to ask you to.
This is almost as bad as my joke. This is so.
That joke would have been better like 5 minutes ago when I first thought of it, but I couldn't interrupt you talking.
Luke Arnold says, where are our free nachos? Did you promise free nachos? Am I forgetting this?
Well, first of all, Luke did not send me his mailing address. But those of you out there who did send me your mailing addresses, I put a bunch of crumbled up tortilla chips and some molten cheese in some manila envelopes. They should be arriving to your homes any day now.
The wheel of the van should keep the cheese warm, so you should be okay. It depends on where the box is in the truck.
Yeah, just throw the envelope in the microwave when you get it, and it'll taste great. I'm sure of it.
That sounds good.
I'd recommend throwing some jalapeno peppers on there for a little extra kick.
Last question comes from Colin Bothwell, who says, who are the punts you guys are going for over the next few weeks? Brini or Defoe? Mobacani or Jerome? Okay, so yes, Mobacani. You know, Mobacani is a fun punt. I'll say that much. Not for game week 36, but game week 37, they've got a double game week. Home to Man U, home to Watford.
Guess who needs goals? Norwich City needs goals.
Exactly. And then away to Everton where they could score like 5, right? Because Everton have completely given up on the season.
Uh-huh.
So I think Mobacani is a I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't advocate for him if we weren't such Muppet County like fanatics on this podcast. But he is an interesting differential. Just looking through some of the teams here, I think there is a differential on Chelsea. I'm not sure who it is. I think maybe it's Willian. I mean, I know he wouldn't have been a differential 20 weeks ago, but I don't know who still has Willian on their team. You know, he's not that expensive. He's someone you could bring in pretty easily.
Pedro.
Yep.
I like that Colin brought up Barini, because Barini gets the short shrift in all these Sunderland discussions. Big Sam is clearly starting Barini right off of Defoe, and they're trying to link up as best they can. And if Sunderland does have a good attacking game, Barini could get a lot of points out of that. So you hit him on the right day, and that could really work out for you.
And he's on penalties, I believe. So, yeah he's an interesting option. I mean, you mentioned Troy Deeney earlier. I think that's an interesting differential option for the last few weeks of the season. I mean, I know Watford don't have a lot to play for right now, but, I mean, home to Aston Villa and then a double game week fixture, and then home to Sunderland. And Sunderland could actually be safe by that last game week. So,
let's get real. Colin is asking who you're going for. Like, these are all ideas. These are all solutions. But who are you going to get, Josh?
All right. My solemn promise, if I have nothing left to play for this season.
You've already said you have nothing left to play for. Quit dancing around.
If I really don't, though, let's see how Game Week 37 goes. I will bring in and captain Dan Mercy Muppet County for the final game week.
I think that's amazing.
See, what about you? What if you have nothing to play for in Game Week 38?
Do you have anything?
Give me
Troy Deeney. Troy Deeney has been a fantasy player that I have coveted all season. We've talked about it a lot on Always Cheating. He's a fun player to root for. He seems like a really likable guy, and I've never brought him in. And I think I'd love to give him the armband in Game Week 38.
All right. Well, let's just hope to celebrate
Watford's accomplishments.
Okay. So that ends the podcast. That was only we got through that in a short 3.5 hours. I'm pretty happy with us. That was.
Yeah. You could watch the Two Towers Director's Extended Edition in the time it takes you to listen to an episode of Always Cheating, which is pretty great. That's a great movie.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk a lot more next week's podcast about Game Week 37. It's there's a lot of planning to do still. I'm a little frustrated because I had to burn a transfer. I've actually already made a transfer this week. I had to drop Sacco.
I dropped
Sacco for Aaron Cresswell. I'll go ahead and say it.
Okay.
Just made the most sense over the last. I wanted a double game week player, and I wanted someone who could possibly get a clean sheet in Game Week 36.
So, I mean, the last piece of advice we'll give, this is my question to you. Is it totally crazy to bring in a transfer for Game Week 36 that is not a double game week player?
Given what we just saw in Game Week 34, I suppose not. You know, it's I don't know who I'd be thrilled. I think there are a lot of tricky fixtures this week, though. I don't know if there's anybody I'd be thrilled to bring in who doesn't have a game week, the double Game Week 37. Like, is there anything that stands out to you? I mean, you know, Leicester are away. Man City are away to Southampton.
I'm very curious about this Newcastle Crystal Palace game. I mean, Crystal Palace did have a tough, well, tough is putting it strongly, but they had a tough FA Cup match. But Pardew is going to want to destroy Newcastle this weekend.
With Connor Wickham and Jason Punchin? I don't know.
He very well might. It could be bum wipey time for my man Jason Punchin. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a good 2 week run for Newcastle. I mean, home to Crystal Palace, away to Aston Villa. There should be some goals, but I the goal scoring has been so spread out on that team. That's the problem. I mean, Sissoko is now scoring goals. I mean, who's going to start? You know, it's I don't know. Wijnaldum is not a consistent starter right now. It's a tricky one to pick.
Yeah, I think it's right. So, all right, for your planning, our advice to you is just gear yourself toward Game Week 37. That's your last gasp. That's your last time to make it happen.
Yep. Okay. So good luck this week, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. We'd love it if you'd write a review, even if it was like a one-line review. That'd be fantastic. It's really good for search engine optimization. And and you know, it makes us feel good if more people listen. So hey, help us get
help
found.
Help us feel good. we don't make any money. We just want to feel good.
The only satisfaction is comments and listens going up. You can also you can follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. You can follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/alwayscheating. That's it for me, Brandon. You know, I'm excited. We haven't – it feels like we've gotten an NYCFC match in – it's been 3 or 4 weeks and
it has.
In 4 days.
Yeah, and Poku has been getting some consistent starts under Patrick Vieira finally. So I have a good feeling we're gonna see a Poku goal before we record next.
I hope so. So Poku forever is what I say to you, Brandon.
Yeah, Poku forever, Josh. Hail Cheaters.
Hail Cheaters.